Nick backed his Chevy Suburban out of his space too fast, not bothering to check whether anyone was behind him, and careened through the parking lot that encircled the headquarters building. Even at the height of the workday, it stood half empty as it had for the last 2 years since the layoffs began. Gallo's humor abounded among the employees these days, Nick knew. The upside of losing half the workforce was you could always find a parking space. His nerves felt stretched taut. Acres of empty black asphalt, surrounded by a great black field of charred buffalo grass, the remains of a prescribed fire. Buffalo grass never needed mowing, but every few years it had to be burned to the ground. The air smelled like a Weber grill. Black against black against the black of the road, a desolate landscape. He wondered whether driving by the vast swath of scorched earth every day, staring at the charred field through the office windows, left a dark carbon smudge on your psyche. You need to go home. Now. When you have kids, they're the first thing you think of. Even a guy like Nick, hardly a worrywart, you get a call from the cops and your imagination takes flight in a bad direction. But both kids were all right, the cops had assured Marjorie. Julia was on her way back from school, and Lucas... Well, Lucas had been in classes today and was doing whatever the hell he did after school these days, which was another issue entirely. That wasn't it. Yes, it was another break-in, they'd said, but this time he really needed to come by. What the hell could that mean? Over the past year or so, Nick had gotten used to the periodic calls from the alarm company or the police. The burglar alarm would go off in the middle of the day. There'd been a break-in. The alarm company would verify that the alarm was genuine by calling home or Nick's office and requesting a code. If no authorized user said it was a false alarm, the company would immediately dispatch the Fenwick police. A couple of cops would then drive by the house, check it out. Inevitably, it happened when no one was there. The crew working on the kitchen were taking one of their frequent days off. The kids were at school. The housekeeper, Marta, was out shopping or maybe picking up Julia. Nothing was ever stolen. The intruder would force a window or one of the French doors, get inside, and leave a little message. Literally, a message. Words spray-painted in day-glow orange, all capital letters formed with the precision of an architect or mechanical engineer. No hiding place. Three words, one on top of another. Was there any doubt it was a deranged, laid-off employee? The graffiti defaced the walls of the living room, the dining room they never used, the freshly plastered walls of the kitchen. In the beginning, it had scared the shit out of him. The real message, of course, was that they weren't safe. They could be gotten to. The Suburban screeched to a stop before the ornately scrolled cast-iron gate beside the brick gatehouse built to resemble a miniature castle. A brass plaque on one of the piers said Fenwick Estates. That little E at the end of Fenwick. He'd always found it pretentious to the point of being irritating. Plus, he was so over the irony here. This posh, enclosed neighborhood equipped with the priciest security you could get. The tall, wrought iron perimeter fence with a fiber optic sensing cable concealed inside the top rail. The pan, tilt, zoom CCTV surveillance cameras. The motion sensor intruder alarms. Where you couldn't stop the loonies from scrambling in through the dense surrounding woods and climbing over the fence. Another break-in, Mr. Conover, said Jorge, the day guard. Nice guy. Couldn't be nicer. The security guards were all professional in demeanor. All wore sharp uniforms. Nick nodded grimly, waited for the motor-driven gate to open, ridiculously slow. The high-pitched electronic warning beep was annoying. Everything beeped these days. Trucks backing up. Dishwashers and clothes dryers, microwaves. It really could drive you crazy. Police are there now, you know, said Jorge. Three cruisers, sir. Any idea what it is? No, sir, I don't. I'm sorry. The damn gate took forever to open. It was ridiculous. In the evening, sometimes there was a line of cars waiting to get in. Something had to be done about it. For Christ's sake, what if his house caught fire? Would the fire department trucks have to sit here while his house turned to toast? He raced the engine in annoyance. Jorge shrugged a sheepish apology. The second the gate was open far enough for the car to get through, he gunned it. The Suburban's pickup never ceased to amaze him and barreled over the tiger teeth tire shredders that enforced one-way traffic, across the wide circular court paved in antique brick in a geometric pattern by old-world Italian stonemasons shipped over from Sicily, past the speed limit 20 sign at twice that, at least.